This is the Two Bald Nerds Podcast. And welcome back to yet another episode of the Two Bald Nerds Podcast. It's just a couple bald guys who are nerdy, who like talking about nerdy things. I'm one half. I'm Mark Stucheski. And this fine looking young man is my cousin. Who might your name be?
My name might be Dan Bourne.
Of course, that's improper English. Who might your name be? I don't think my English teachers are listening to the show, so it really doesn't matter.
No, I don't think. I think we're okay.
Yeah, and if you want a very polished show, go ahead and skip to the next podcast because we just run it. We run with it. We just hit record, and we just go. Now, Danny, I know you remember this because you were actually on the episode with me, but on April 18th of this year, 2022, we released an episode, Search Engines, Then and Now, and we talked about DuckDuckGo. And I read an article today, which I sent to you, and you were not too happy to hear about this. So this is directly from 9to5Mac. After I read this, Danny, I'm going to want your thoughts on this. So the headline is DuckDuckGo caught giving Microsoft permission for trackers despite strong privacy reputation. Ruh-roh. So DuckDuckGo is known for its privacy, and I'm reading directly from 9to5Mac.com. For its privacy-first commitment to users on iOS, Android browsers, and soon with its own Mac app. Now report puts in check the company's privacy focus due to a search agreement with Microsoft that lets the Redmond company continue tracking users on the browser. As reported by Bleeping Computer, love that name, security researcher Zach Edwards posted on Twitter that, quote, while DuckDuckGo blocks Google and Facebook trackers, it allowed Microsoft trackers to continue running, end quote. The company explains that, quote, this issue is occurring on browsers and only pertains to non-DuckDuckGo websites, end quote. Tests show that the browser allowed trackers related to Bing and LinkedIn domains, both of which are owned by Microsoft, while blocking other trackers. Edwards' thread got the attention of DuckDuckGo CEO Gabriel Weinberg, which said the browser intentionally allows Microsoft trackers third-party sites. Did I say that right? Yeah. Intentionally allows Microsoft trackers third-party sites due to a search syndication agreement with Redmond. While it doesn't seem that a big of a deal since technically users aren't tracked, DuckDuckGo's focus on privacy put the company vision in check. In the same way, Apple promises privacy first in its ecosystem, and it's very controversial once you hear reports about third-party companies listening to HomePod requests, or the company is all in on privacy, or it's not. After the Bleeping Computer story, DuckDuckGo sent a statement to the publication and 9to5Mac saying it will be clearer with the Microsoft partnership and keep improving users' right to privacy. Quote, we have always been extremely careful to never promise an anonymity while browsing because that frankly is impossible given how quickly trackers change, how they work to evade protections and the tools we currently offer. When most other browsers on the market talk about tracking protection, they are usually referring to third-party cookie protection and fingerprinting protection. And our browsers for iOS, Android, and our new Mac beta impose these restrictions on third-party tracking scripts, including those from Microsoft. What we're talking about here is an above and beyond protection that most browsers don't even attempt to do. That is blocking third-party tracking scripts before they load on third-party websites. Because we're doing this where we can, users are still getting significantly more privacy protection with DuckDuckGo than they would be using Safari, Firefox, and other browsers. This blog post we published that we don't have the link to gets into the real benefits users enjoy from this approach, like faster load times, 46% average decrease, and less data transfer, 34% average decrease. Our goal at DuckDuckGo has always been to provide the most privacy we can in one download by default without any complicated settings, end quote. Danny, what are your thoughts about that?
So I kind of understand what they're saying here. I'm not super into the technology behind how a lot of these trackers work. I've read a lot about how the browsers block third-party trackers and things of that nature. I'm not really sure I completely understand what they mean by blocking the third party or the inability to block some third party tracking scripts before they load on the third party websites. I do know that that whole genre of tracking software and who's doing what to who and who's scamming what data is pretty complicated and ever changing. I guess my issue with DuckDuckGo at this point on this particular article is that nowhere in any of the research that I did or that I've seen did it seem like they ever disclosed that they had this thing going on with Microsoft.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's a big thing.
So I understand if it was something that they couldn't do or even if they agreed to do, but the fact that they didn't disclose it, I think, is the big thing.
Yeah. And when you brag about privacy and then you get caught with your pants down, not so good. So we just thought we'd bring you some up-to-date information. If you weren't aware of that, Danny and I both prefer using startpage.com, which I wish, I guess I'm going to come up with a Mac app. I wish it was more integrated with my stuff because you can have it as a homepage, but you can't on the Mac anyways, and on iOS devices, you cannot choose as your default search engine, Google, Bing, and they had a couple other ones, DuckDuckGo and a couple other ones. I wish they had Start Page as an option. Maybe that's coming down the road, but
yeah. And one more thing we should interject is that this is actually talking about their DuckDuckGo browser that they have, which I actually have loaded on my phone and my iPad. It's, I believe it's different than their actual web search.
Okay.
Probably have to do a little bit of research on that, but this article does call out that they're talking about their actual browser.
Okay. Interesting. All right. So the topic for today was Danny's suggestion, and we are going to talk about the casual user, the power user, and the tinkerer. Now, the casual user, I'm going to guess, is someone like me. Okay. I use my MacBook Pro. I use most apps as they are out of the box. I don't like to mess with things because, Danny, if we've talked before, if I mess something up, I'm a whole day shot. So I try not to mess with too many settings. Maybe the minor ones, but a casual user is one that uses their computer for basic functionality. I'm raising my proverbial hand here. Browsing the web, watching streaming content, paying bills, maybe some simple documents like Word document or simple spreadsheet or check in email. I will create images in Canva. I do obviously produce the podcast, both this one and the Mark Krzyzewski podcast. But I don't really get complicated stuff. So I don't know. I'll be interested to see if you think I'm a casual or I'm a little stronger user, if you will. So casual users generally just want their computer to work. Yeah, that's me. But do not give much thought to the actual operating system that is on it or how the computer actually works. They may or may not be concerned about privacy, but only have a simple approaches to privacy like a specific web browser, like StartPage or DuckDuckGo or a VPN. All software for casual users should be either already included or super easy to install and easy to use. Amen to that. They tend not to mess with the look and feel of their computer except possibly pictures and built-in images to change the wallpaper. So, Danny, that really, I think, it not only does it think encapsulate me, but I think most users are probably casual users. I think most people don't want to mess with the settings. Am I correct?
I would put most people, a majority of people, probably in the casual user category. When we talk about power users, there can be a little bit of a crossover, but I'll get to that in a couple minutes. But generally speaking, most people are going to fall into the casual user bucket. They're just using their computer to get on, do what they have to do, and then they're on to something else.
Okay, so what is a power user then?
So power users have usually spent time figuring out a deeper understanding of how their computer works. They may not or generally are not programmers or hackers, but power users generally have a high level of system knowledge and can do things on their system like run system updates, install more advanced software options. They can change more complex aspects of the environment, like the actual theme or the colors. They have a tendency to be more efficient with keyboard shortcuts and use the mouse less, customizing the keyboard shortcuts in a lot of respects. They're familiar with managing startup applications. They can create or delete applications or folder shortcuts. They can diagnose simple errors that the system might present. That's just kind of a list that I came up with of some of the things that a power user might do.
Oh, so I fall into some of those.
Yeah. Oh, so okay. Really, you can kind of be a hybrid. There probably should be a fourth option, possibly called an advanced user, which is somewhere between a casual user and a power user. And I kind of put that in here. Power users may not be specific to the overall system, but they could be a power user or an advanced user for specific pieces of software, a software suite, or only certain portions of their system. So the way I think of a power user generally is if you do something above and beyond just getting on, doing some simple work and getting off, then you're really a power user. But power users can run the gamut between like a simple power user to an advanced power user, but they're really all still power users. So Mark, I would classify you as a power user because you do some of the things with like shortcuts and you probably, you know, manage application folders and startup applications. And I know you're a power user specifically when it comes to certain pieces of software, because you probably know how to use some of those pieces of Apple software better and more efficiently than a casual user who would never even maybe use some of those pieces of software anyway.
Okay.
Would know. So I believe that you would fall into the power user group. So you can give yourself a pat on the back for that.
I will do that right now. Now, you, I'm guessing, are the next category. I've got a feeling that you fall into the next category.
Yep. The other thing I did want to mention about the power user, too, is sometimes the power user will get into stuff like doing some spreadsheet work and doing Word documents on a more advanced level than just opening up and using them. So, again, it goes back to the suite of tools that they use versus the actual system.
Now, the dreaded pivot tables, which Microsoft Excel had for the longest time. Now it's in Google Sheets and Apple Numbers. I don't know what a pivot table is. I don't want to know what a pivot table is, but apparently all the advanced users got really excited that pivot tables. Okay.
I love your pivot tables
and go down the hall because I don't really care.
I love pivot tables. Oh, anyway.
Of course you do.
All right. So then we come to the third category. And that's the tinkerer. This would be the category that I fall into. And a tinkerer is a user that relishes digging into how the system actually works. Spend a lot of time researching on how the file system works, on how memory is used, what tools are available to help manage the system performance. Tinkerers generally will be keyboard junkies. And when I mean keyboard junkies, we'll literally go out and buy custom keyboards.
Oh, wow.
I have two semi-custom keyboards. They're not ones that I built myself, but that's next. We'll talk about that probably another time. We love keyboard shortcuts. Anything that keeps our hands off of the mouse, because it's so much more efficient when you can just have keyboard combinations to do stuff. There are obviously certain aspects of computing where the mouse is important, video editing, audio editing, that kind of stuff, where a mouse is invaluable. But for a lot of things, you can get away with doing keyboard shortcuts and you can just fly without ever having to have your hand leave the keyboard, which is awesome. Scripts to automate tasks is huge with tinkerers. Writing scripts in whatever scripting language you choose. A lot of these systems have their own scripting language that comes with them by default. Windows has PowerShell. Mac and Linux usually have what's called Bash, but you can install other ones.
Now, the scripts really scare me because I know I can do a lot of things automated on my Mac, but I have not dove however do you say the word. And this is not an English podcast, okay, folks?
It's a new podcast, not an English podcast.
Exactly. Okay. So someday when you and I meet again, I'm going to show you this thing, unless you get a MacBook Pro before me and you can tell me how it works. But I'm scared to run scripts, although I've heard from other tinkerers, such as yourself, who are real big Mac users, who say, hey, this saves me so much time, but this has only been a casual conversation. I want someone sitting next to me when I do this stuff. So maybe someday we can work on that together.
That would be a fun thing to do. Yeah. You can get scripts can be dangerous, but you know, with somebody more experienced that can understand it and help you through it, they can actually save you a lot of time. And honestly, Apple's done a really good job with their shortcuts.
Yes.
Their own built-in automation stuff that makes a lot of that automation stuff easier for someone who's not really into the scripting, because it's a lot of what they call WYSIWYG, which is what you see, what you get. You've got boxes, you drag around, define it, and that kind of stuff. So that's kind of like an intermediate step there to get you to where you need to be.
Okay.
Tinkers will also spend a considerable amount of time learning how they can customize their system if it's possible to customize it. Windows isn't very customizable. Mac is not customizable really at all. You can do some stuff with the Mac from the underlying guts if you really want to get into it, but still it's kind of complicated. In some of those cases, it's best to just leave it alone because you don't really want to break it.
Yes.
Yes. That being the reason I use Linux, because Linux is designed for the tinkerer, where you can actually do whatever you want, basically. It's like an open sandbox with that thing, and as long as you know what you're doing, you can change any aspect of it that you really want to.
Mm. Nope, I'll leave that to you, man.
Tinkers are constantly looking for ways to make their systems not like anyone else's, but make it their own. So power users and casual users really are like, somebody else made it. It works. It's fine. It's good.
Yep.
Tinkerers are like, nah, I really want to build my own thing. I want it to be mine. So just a rundown of a few things that us tinkerers like to do is customize the windows, the borders, the colors, and manipulation of UI elements. In Linux, we can change the entire UI experience so we can make it the windows wobble or not wobble. We can make them so that they tile or float, all different kinds of stuff. We can customize the wallpapers themselves to fit the colors and the other UI elements around them to be what we call a theme. So we can actually create custom themes. We can go on the web and find themes that other people have put together and actually download them, install them. We can run customized software for working with the file system. So in Mac, I know they have Finder, which is your main file manager, I believe is the name of the file manager in
correct
Apple. Windows has just Windows Explorer. Linux has 452 different file managers. Take your pick. So you can get different ones that do slightly different things. Many tinkerers also will get into some more complex scripting, sometimes even installing programming languages or other scripting languages like Python or Ruby or other ones to do just crazy stuff because we're crazy. We might install multiple operating systems on a single computer, which is what I have here at home. I actually have on my main box, I have Linux on one hard drive and I have Windows on another hard drive, so I can actually boot into multiple operating systems depending on what I'm deciding to do. Install custom software to work with lower level portions of the system. So getting into stuff like memory management and ways to compress the file system so you can take up less space when you're actually got large files and stuff like that. And also install software that allows us to work in a virtualized environment, which is really what servers do, in order to try out different operating systems without changing our main system. So that's another thing I do in Linux is I have this software that allows me to actually spin up a Windows install, other Linux installs. If I get froggy, I can even try and figure out a way to install Macintosh software on my Linux box and run it in a virtual machine. I have not done that yet, though. Tinkers also have a tendency to play with multiple devices and have a tendency to want to learn every piece of the technology they can, like website design, networking, server building, maintenance. We're kind of into everything. In essence, we we kind of become jack of all trades. Sometimes we become masters of some of them, but we really just like to play. That's really what it is. We're just so nerdy into technology, and we're so not afraid of what it is that we just like to dig and peck and change and learn. And it really is about learning. For most tinkerers, myself included, and everyone I talk to, it's really about learning and understanding.
I'm definitely not a tinkerer. Definitely. There's no doubt about it. I can see where I'm a little bit more of a power user. And you know, you mentioned these iOS shortcuts, which are now on the Mac. I don't really use those. I mean, it was a big thing. Everybody was so excited when they came around, because it's not because I don't know how. I just keep forgetting about it. I'm so used to doing things automatically. You know, you just pick up your phone, go blup, 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 you're done. And I'm like, I could have done a shortcut. But for me, I keep forgetting about it. Do you use a shortcut on your iPhone?
I have not yet. I just kind of learned about them because I was watching some videos. I was actually going through some videos for some of the software that's on the iPad now that I have the iPad. Mm-hmm. And the guy had, you know, YouTube pops up the little windows of other videos that the channels have. And one of them was on shortcuts. So I ended up watching one of those videos. And I was kind of intrigued as to how this guy set up all of his shortcuts. He's got different shortcuts for all different kinds of crazy stuff, for like pushing things out to website. I mean, he got pretty sophisticated, all within the Apple ecosystem, all within this shortcuts feature.
You know, maybe that's a topic for a future episode. We could talk about, for iOS people and Mac people, how to create shortcuts. Because if I look at my computer right now, there is something called, what do they call it on Apple? It's called, where is it? Look at, Automator. That's what Apple calls it, Automator. And I opened it once. I'm like, I'm going to leave that one alone because I don't know what it does. But I think that will be a good topic for a future episode, because you and I both have iPhones and you have an iPad, and we could maybe do a whole episode on, you know, shortcuts, because there's probably people like me out there that just forget about it. And if we give them some really simple things to do, they can set them up on their own.
Yep. And I think this could also be a good crossover into your other podcast, Mark, because one of your big things in your O'Day system is Automate.
Yes. Yes.
So
he's referring to the Mark Stucheski podcast, which has like 1,000, almost 1,100 episodes out now. It's mainly about productivity, but you can check that out. The link is always in the show notes. So, well, this is any final thoughts before we wrap up today?
The only thing I would say is that sometimes people can float between these things. I know I went through a period where, even though I'm a tinkerer, I just got tired of customizing things and I got tired of doing it. And I settled on one Linux distribution for a while and I didn't change it. And I just kind of got burnt out on it. And I would have been more what you would call, I acted like a casual user, put it that way. I didn't really make any changes. I just got on there. I logged in. I updated the system because in Linux, you basically run your own updates, because that's one of the big proponents of Linux, is that they don't force the updates down your throat. But for a while, 6 months maybe, I just did not tinker at all, because, you know, you get burnt out on it sometimes. So you can float between the two. I would say that if you're interested in ever becoming a tinkerer or even becoming a power user, just do your research. Look it up online. Look up YouTube or any other video source. Or, you know, if you've got a little bit of cash, go to Udemy or any of those online course sites. Has lots of really cool stuff for software suites, computers in general, how computers work, how networks work, and all that kind of stuff. And do a little bit of learning before you actually touch any of your own stuff, and see if it's something that you're even interested in. And if it's something that interests you, you know, start blocking out some time to start learning it. If it's something that really doesn't interest you at all, then being a casual user, as long as you're being productive and getting work done and it's working for you, go with it.
I love it. Now, one of the things I do with iOS and my Apple Watch, I do the beta, which is not really a tinkerer. I just want to get the new features first. I won't do it for my Mac because I had a real bad experience once. Although now I have this really sweet MacBook Pro with the M1 Pro chip and the terabyte of storage. I may do the beta. Maybe I'll think about it. But right now, the beta systems for watchOS and iOS are really stable. And of course, it's almost that time, which is WWDC. And I'm super excited because this is how much nerd I am, ladies and gentlemen. I sit in front of my 4K Vizio TV with my 4K Apple TV, put my phone on Do Not Disturb, and I watch every Apple keynote. I'm that much of a nerd. And I get really geeked out about this stuff. They talk about iOS, watchOS, tvOS, macOS. And I just, now I have a, the reason why I'm so excited this year is I have the latest iPhone 13 Pro Max and had the latest MacBook Pro. So all the new operating systems are going to come. My stuff's going to be able to use it. So I'm really, I can't wait until they reveal it next month.
Nice.
Well, I shouldn't say next month. Let me check the date on my calendar here because, okay, no, because this drops on May 30th. So a week from today is when WWDC is happening. I'm so
It's a week from today?
Well, a week from this drops on May 30th. It's on June 6th.
Gotcha.
So we'll be talking about it. Yeah. So a couple weeks from now, I will be talking about WWDC on the show. You can put that in the book. But next time, Danny, next time we're going to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart, both as a productivity expert and as a privacy guy. This is where you're going to come in. We're going to talk about social media use and misuse. I'll just leave you with this teaser. Social media is not your friend, okay? They're not your friend. We're going to talk about it the next episode. So just remember that it is not your friend. Get that tattooed on your brain. So, Danny, any final thoughts before we wrap up on this episode?
No, I think I've covered everything. How about you?
No, I'm really good, but there's one thing you have to do before we go. We have to make sure people are going to what?
Stay nerdy.